This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Dr. Psych Mom Show. Today, we're going to talk about something that I have long noticed, which is that in the media, women who want no touch and no connection, physically especially, are extolled, and that is like the new normal, and how that, I'm going to discuss how that impacts marriages and individuals, not for the better, in many cases. And before we get to the nuts and bolts of that, please do subscribe. My most recent subscriber episode was somebody on my Facebook, not just one person, many people tend to say this, but one person framed it as porn doesn't create masturbation. I don't agree with that, and I didn't agree with it generally in the when it was said, but I expand on that in the podcast. So what do I mean when I say that women wanting to be alone is now considered like a healthy ideal? So there's all these memes and videos and like all these things. And it's all about, like, I saw just one yesterday, like, I just want to be like left alone in the park and never touched again. Like, I just want to sit in a park by myself and not be touched ever. And then like all these women were like, oh yeah, totally, you know? Like, Me Too is like retweeted and whatever, or it was not on Twitter because I don't really do Twitter, but wherever it was, people were like all into it. And I see this stuff like all the time. Basically, like, I just want to be left alone. I just want to be left alone. Now, remember, it used to be considered, it's hard to remember this, and I know my listeners aren't that young, so no, as I'm not. So you remember, right? I mean, when that was totally different. I mean, like, it's kind of like the biggest mindfuck ever, because it used to be like there were all sorts of movies and books and everything always about people who were lonely. Like, that was the worst thing, was to be lonely. Like, the spinster, that was like the worst, you know, a woman who didn't have love or didn't have a family, or a man who didn't have love or didn't have a family, you know? I mean, these people were sad. There were all sorts of movies about like lonely people who would just kind of hang out in the glimpse of like hanging, you know, like touching somebody or hanging out with somebody or having some, you know, a handshake with somebody. There was that book Notes on a Scandal, where there's like this old lady, and like I read the book, there was a movie too, and she just wanted somebody to touch her. She was so lonely. You know, since she gets obsessed with somebody because it's a book, et cetera, et cetera. But like, this used to be the dominant narrative, is that it's bad for people to be alone and they get lonely. Now, does anybody want to guess, if this was a class, does anybody want to guess what changed? The internet, smartphones. No one ever has to be lonely ever. And the dopamine, addictive dopamine rush, it's not just for porn, it's for social media, it's for just constant entertainment, right? Like planes, people used to talk to each other, like if I remember this, like if you were sitting next to somebody on a plane, you had nothing to do for 3 hours, so then you would talk to the person. Barely anybody talks to the person now. Planes are so much quieter. Even the kids are quieter because they're plugged into their devices with the movies, you know? And it doesn't have to be the movie that you don't want to watch, that everybody's watching. It's whatever the hell you downloaded before. So it's your ideal curated experience. And so, of course, and then, of course, there's forums and there's dating apps and there's social media itself. Like, you can be communicating with people without touching them. A million people all at once. Like, what do I say all about porn, right? It's 1,000 women doing anything that you want. You know, doing anything that you want at all. And they are right at your fingertips. And, of course, that is addictive to your brain. It's also addictive to your brain to be able to scroll past 1,000 of your friends, see what they're doing, and, you know, write a little comment and then they write back. It's like socializing on steroids, except, like, of course, it isn't. In many ways, you have no idea what those people are feeling. You don't see their faces. There's not, you know, the same kind of connection. But, you know, the quantity, the sheer quantity of it means that you never actually have to feel completely lonely. There's always something to do in your phone. Or you could just watch endless TV. Remember, binge watching didn't used to be a thing? I think this is why rates of sex, of how frequently married people have sex, have dropped. And also, like, how much sex young people are having has dropped. There's always something that releases dopamine right at your fingertips. You never have to leave your house, you know? And, you know, like the people that just stay in their rooms are like, you know, 25, 28, 30, 35. They're still living at home. What are they doing in their room? They're not reading books all the time. You know, there's only so many books you could read. They're on the internet, or they're gaming, or they're doing something on the internet, generally gaming, you know, of some sort. So if you can plug yourself into constant entertainment, you never have to be lonely. So the woman that's sitting in the park, maybe she's going to sit there for like 10 minutes, but you know what she's going to do after she has that, you know, 10 minutes looking at the trees? She's going to go on her phone. You know, people eat out now. It used to be like a big deal to go out to dinner yourself. That's like not a big deal anymore because you're on your phone. So basically the point is that people can have connection with zero touch for basically the first time in human history to this extent. And so if you are touch averse because of bad things that happen to you, it doesn't have to be rape, it doesn't have to be sexual trauma, it doesn't have to be abuse, but you grew up in kind of a cold, touchless atmosphere. So then you're uncomfortable around it, but instead of powering through that discomfort because that's the way you would connect, for example, with your husband, one of the ways, you don't have to. You're in bed or you're on the couch or you're just in your house. And if you want to connect with a human being, you can connect with them through the phone, and then you never deal with your fear. You never, ever deal with your fear of touch. And so it gets worse, as I've taught you about anxiety, right? You need exposure therapy to get used to anxiety about anything. But you don't do the exposure therapy. You don't touch your husband. You're not, you don't have to if you're married. You know, like, sure, if you're dating, you kind of have to, but even young people who are dating are having less sex. Everybody's having less sex. You don't have to touch. You get sucked into your device, and then you don't have to touch each other at all. It wasn't like that just with TV, because TV isn't as interesting and it isn't as individually curated. People, you know, it gets boring. You turn off the TV at some point, but you don't turn off your phone as easily because you can constantly get any sort of specific, you know, experience that you want, whether it's porn, whether it's Netflix, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Instagram, whatever it is. So this idea, it used to be very, very different, as I said. I have a podcast episode on how TV used to be different. So I was talking about kids shows like Dawson's Creek, like shows for teenagers, Dawson's Creek or My So-Called Life, various things I've rewatched with my children as they get older. And there's so much sex between the parents, you know, the parents are having sex, and that's like not part of the shows now. And I contrasted it with the Never Have I Ever, which is kind of a little bit of a My So-Called Life, but for now. And that woman, the mother, had like one kiss, you know. The point being, adults used to have sex. In fact, if you go, it's a good podcast episode if you're interested in TV, because one of the characters, he was hitting on this MILF, which again, now would definitely, that wouldn't be done. We would have to, you know, have zoomed in on his birth certificate, making sure that he's exactly 18, because if he was 17 and a half and he had a crush on an older woman, it would be considered, you know, terrible. But the point being that he had a crush on this woman, this older woman. And then he said to his friend, the teenage boy, "She's a mom. Like, moms have great sex lives," or something like that, which is like literally opposite of today. I mean, it's as though he rode out on a horse and buggy. That's how, you know, anachronistic, like, you know, it's just so different now. It was almost like it made me laugh out loud because of how different it was. So we're in this world where you don't have to have touch. And then there's this idea, and I think it comes from this, the fact that nobody has to have touch because of their phones and technology, et cetera. But people, they now, the ideal And like the common female experience that people bond over is not wanting to be touched. That was not a thing. It just was not a thing. If you go back to feminism in like the 70s, you read like The Women's Room by Marilyn French. There was like a woman who was like begging her husband to have sex with her and he wouldn't do it. And it was considered like terrible. And feminism would get her away from him and make her, had she, you know, been awoken to feminism, she would realize that she deserves to have sex in her marriage. Like, can you imagine? Like, it's like the Twilight Zone compared to now, where everything is about feminism makes you realize you don't have to have sex. You don't have to have touch. You don't need anybody. And of course, that's not what, you know, that's not at all what real feminism is. And of course, I'm a feminist. Everybody should be a feminist. That means the gender should be treated equally. That's what that means. Like, so everybody thinks that. And hopefully that I should get paid what a man should get paid for the same work. No shit. Like, I hope nobody disagrees with that one. But the point being is now it's considered this big, wonderful thing to be able to say, you know what? It's so normal for me not to want any touch at all and to just be like, want to be on a desert island away from everybody. Where in reality, and then I'm also seeing all these articles that are like, and it's clickbait. I've never seen one where the headline wasn't clickbait, but the clickbait headlines can teach us about what people respond to in our current culture, right? And so I've seen clickbait headlines, and again, these do not turn out to be true, where it's like, mom takes vacation of 6 months away from baby. And it's like, what? Like, how? What? Why would that be considered even remotely positive? And of course it's clickbait, but yet all these people click on it and then say things in the comments like, well, it wasn't 6 months, but I really like going away from my baby for, you know, or my kids or my this or my that. Like, okay, like sometimes you have a vacation, but the idea that it's like better to be alone is really the dominant narrative now. And you can see why that would be difficult for marriages, right? I mean, no shit, because you're not alone in a marriage. And so if the idea is that it's not lucky, you're not lucky to have someone anymore. And that was bad for the people who couldn't find somebody, for sure. That was like my first thought when like the internet got so big and online dating got so big. So I was like, nobody's ever gonna have to be alone. It's wonderful. Nobody is ever going to have to be alone. And then a lot of old people started doing internet dating, like really old people. People would say like, oh, my mom or my grandmother or somebody. People were finding people. And I thought, this is so wonderful. Nobody's ever going to have to be alone. Because you could be in, you know, sitting in your, and I say this, like dating apps make dating so different for divorced people. I have articles on this, you know. The point is that nobody has to be alone because they can always find somebody else. It's so easy to find somebody. But the interesting part is within marriage, it's become like use the phone to not have anybody. So to just scroll and to do your personal curated entertainment and then to not work on any sort of anxiety or near phobia that I've seen in some people around physical touch or sex, because you don't have to, because you're two different organisms with your own phones that you can do whatever you want internally in your mind all the time. And the dominant feature of your life is not physical touch, but mental engagement in the universe of the internet. And so then when somebody says that they want sex in that, in this climate, then they seem kind of monstrous, you know, for disrupting the endless, you know, consumption of the other person who should be able to do exactly what they want, including never be touched again. Well, that's not good in marriage, right? As I've said, you can't parent a baby without touch. You can't parent a child without touch. And you can't be married without touch, you know? It's supposed to be, unless, of course, both of you somehow are asexual and you don't want touch. That's a very different sort of arrangement than the norm. So the point being here that there has been a large social shift that really, really does not help people who still do want to be emotionally close and physically close within marriage. So that's pretty much it. And it would be an interesting one to discuss if you're into sociology. It would be real interesting to watch some of these things in the 90s and think, shit, wow, it used to be so different. Even on 90210, Jim and Cindy touched like 10,000 times more than like young couples do on TV now. It's just, it's so different. You know, it's massively different. I watched a movie, recently. I forget the name of it, but it was about a woman who was in an unhappy marriage, and but they had this one moment of where they had a deep kiss, and they had some romantic dance around the kitchen. But that actually was on advice given to the husband from his friend. And so then the man dies, they're older, and so now the friend comes to see if he can now be with the wife, because he was such a good friend that he didn't want to be with the wife while the friend was alive. But those people, that husband and wife, had a marriage that didn't have enough touch and romantic connection, and it was understood that that's what she was deeply yearning for, and had very quickly in this one moment that was orchestrated by the friend. But point being, women used to want touch. They used to want romance. That used to be like evidence that like you achieved a good life, is that you have a partner. It's not like that anymore. And I do not think that's fine. If you want to stay single, do it. You know, nobody needs unwanted children. Nobody wants loveless marriages. If you're a kind of person who doesn't want really to be intimate with somebody, I think personally that that should be worked upon and thought about why, since it is a basic drive for human connection, but not everybody's the same. You know, so if you want to stay single, cool. Like that makes sense. But if you are married, you got to think about the idea that like, are you consuming too much media that tells you that the ideal state is to be alone and untouched? And if so, is that not directly antithetical to marriage and family life? And if it's super comfortable for you to be completely alone and not touched, and that is your constant fantasy, why? You know, get into therapy. Figure out, is something wrong with the marriage? Did I learn things that were fucked up around intimacy and touch and closeness? Probably both things. And so that's something to explore, not something to just be like, oh yeah, haha, haha, I didn't touch my husband in 2 years, haha. Like, that's not haha, you know, it's really not. All right, I hope you guys found this interesting, and I will talk to y'all soon. Please do subscribe. Bye-bye.